Blessed are the weird people.
Poets.
Misfits.
Painters.
Writers.
Troubadours.
For they teach us to see the world through different eyes.
This is Blessed Are the Weird on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Jacob Nordby.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Chicago, which is the satellite location for Empower Radio. I come to you with a very special guest today from the other side of the nation. I'll reveal her identity in just a moment. But I do want to welcome you to yet another excursion into being blessedly weird, into learning about ourselves and to expressing that in the most powerful, beautiful, and satisfying ways in the world. And before I introduce you to our most exciting and mysterious guest, I want to bring you something from the Ministry of Everyday Magic. So from the Ministry of Everyday Magic, I actually posted this on Facebook this morning to great applause because it just touches people so much to imagine this. And this is by Thich Nhat Hanh. I think I got the name properly said this time. Here it is. Walk as if you are kissing the earth with your feet. So imagine that today. Imagine as you're going out, this is from the Ministry of Everyday Magic. Imagine you're going out the door and that by the very act of walking through your day, you are kissing the earth with your feet. You're saying, thank you, I love you, I'm so happy to be here. Just imagine that. All right, so let's introduce you now to Lisa McCourt, who is a dear friend of mine and the author of, back in the day, the Stinky Face books, which between those and her latest book, Juicy Joy, Seven Simple Steps to Your Glorious Gutsy Self, have sold over 6 million copies. And Lisa is a mentor. She's a teacher, a leader who loves you into getting what you want out of your life. She has taught her juicy, joyful, sometimes shocking, and always delicious methods to thousands in her presentations. And she lives in South Florida with her two kids, and of course, we're going to tell you all about how to get in touch with her and learn more about her, but I just want you to know this book, which I hold in my hand right now, Juicy Joy, Simple Steps to Your Glorious Gutsy Self. This is kind of, well, I would call it like a gentle boot camp for all of us blessed weirdians and people who want to crack out and experience themselves as they never have before. And I got to tell you that Lisa, since we're sticking with this metaphor right now, Lisa is the most delightful drill sergeant ever. So without further ado, Lisa, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. I had to rush back. I was busy kissing the earth with my feet for a few minutes there. I had to get up and try that. That is a beautiful practice.
Isn't
love
that neat? Well, you're in South Florida, so I imagine you get to kiss the earth with your actual bare feet most of the year round, don't you?
About 99% of the time.
Yeah,
that's the way my feet experience the earth, yes.
Well, I can't tell you what a joy it is to have you on the show today, Lisa, and share with these folks, with people from all over the world now, this group of people who have identified themselves as being blessedly weird or who at least want to creep up next to the virtual campfire that we've built and say, yeah, I think I might have something inside of myself which is unique, and I'm ready to learn how to express it. And I know that that's what you've been teaching people, for a long time. And I imagine it didn't start, in the last couple of years. I would really like to hear, Lisa, if you would tell us kind of where this started in your life. And I have to imagine there's a bit of a story. Like, you probably weren't always the Juicy Joy Lady, were you?
I was not. No, of course not.
So tell us what happened.
Well, I mean, the thing I love so much about your whole blessed or the weird is you're just giving people permission to show the bits of themselves that we traditionally aren't encouraged to show, the parts that we're encouraged to hide and just those pieces that we don't think are so shiny and don't really want to be exposed to the world. And that's the invitation that you issue. And that's definitely what I have so tried to do with my work, especially in recent years when I've come out of the closet with my whole metaphysical and self-dev leanings. They've always been a huge part of my life. I did not come by authenticity naturally. I sure as hell did not come by self-love naturally. And self-love and authenticity are the two pillars of the whole Juicy Joy program that I teach. Very, very, very shy child, very much afraid of any type of personal expression whatsoever. My teachers used to complain that when I would speak in the classroom that they couldn't ever hear me. Like if they called on me, I would never speak voluntarily. But if they called on me, I would feel like I was yelling as loud as I could. And they would always, you know, speak up. I can't hear you. My mother would get called into the school because when I took a test or had to write on paper, the writing would be so faint that you almost couldn't read it. You'd have to really hold it up to the light to see that I had written anything at all. Wow. It was just any type of personal expression was not safe for me. So yeah, it's been a long journey from there to here where I write and speak for a living.
Well, so that journey, I have to imagine, Lisa, there must have been a point at which you started noticing that you did have something to say and that you should be leaving a more indelible mark on the world. Can you remember when that was or how that happened?
Yeah, it happened very gradually. I interact with a lot of gurus and talk to people like you're doing on the radio. And so many of them have this great, like, dark night of the soul turning point story, you know? And for me, it really was more just an accumulation. It was just a very gradual progression where I was always just enamored with the whole personal development field, but it was like a secret obsession. I remember my first Wayne Dyer book I read at 14, and I copied passages into my journal at the time and applied it to my life. And I have no idea how I got Your Erroneous Zones when I was 14 years old. It was not something that would have been around my house. I didn't know anybody who would have, you know, given me this, but somehow I had that book, and I'm sure the title's wordplay was lost on me. But Wayne's message was not lost on me. It was just so powerful to me that I can change my beliefs and change my world. And that was what I focused on, because that's, I think, the carrot that brings most cuspers over to this whole realm is what, manifestation. I can have what I want. I can manifest. So I had become like a really powerful manifester and gotten all the things that I thought I wanted, and realized that there was still this, you know, really big kind of gaping hole there. And it's because of the authenticity piece, but it took me a long time to realize that's what it was. Because pretty much we all think that we're being authentic, right? We're being who we are to the best of our ability. So it doesn't really occur to most people to say, wow, am I being the truest version of me? Because we're just us. It's like the water we're swimming in. Mm-hmm. So it took me a long time to realize that's what it was, that it was really just I was a chameleon. Whatever anybody wanted me to be, that's what I would become for them, no matter who was in front of me. I was going to just become exactly what that person would most want to see in me. And it was a great superhero power, but it didn't lead to a lot of personal happiness. So it was really only in the last 6 years, I'll say, that I realized that those were the missing pieces, the authenticity and the self-love, and that getting those two in place made the whole manifestation question moot, because we can manifest our socks off, but if we're not having that freedom to be who we are and express and feel and just be, then it doesn't matter what we manifest. It's not going to give us the kind of satisfaction that we're looking for.
So I find that fascinating, Lisa, and the fact that you had gotten so good at having things show up in your life that you really wanted. I've told a few of my guests this, and I'm going to tell you as well, that people don't necessarily know this when they tune into Blessed of the Weird Radio here on Empower, but they give us the permission to read their minds a bit. So I'm reading a couple of minds out there right now, and they are speaking of superpowers. I can hear a couple of people saying, well, that's really neat that Lisa, you know, came upon this whole authenticity piece and self-love piece after she had already learned how to manifest. And so she had all this confidence in herself, and she kind of knew what it felt like to feel good. And so that gave her a little bit of a boost forward in terms of being able to take these steps. But I, you know, these are the thoughts I'm getting from out there in the audience, but I've never had anything happen that good in my life to tell me that it's going to be okay. What should I do about that?
Oh, wow. Then that's when you have to really get to embracing the contrast and just knowing that everything that's happened is for your benefit. I believe that. I think believing that is just the only way to start to turn things around, is just to find that sliver of belief. And the way I have people do that sometimes is to look back at the things that have just really sucked that have just been in the moment impossible to find any sliver of gratitude for, because they're just these horrific things that have happened. And most of us have them, especially most of us who are drawn to this, you know, this industry, this type of show to listen to. Mm-hmm. So you look at those really horrific things and you say, okay, in retrospect, in hindsight, like just pick the suckiest one. And is there anything that that led me to, or any knowledge that I gained, or any strength that I found within myself? Is there anything that I can find to look back and be grateful for that incident? Mm. And we usually can when we spin it that way, you know, whether it was that was the contrast that let me know what I really do want and gave me the push to go after what I want, whatever it might be, to sort of try to transpose that gratitude onto whatever's sucking right now and say, there will be a day when I'll look back and I'll say, this was for my benefit too, because I believe that we are creating all of it. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, but if you don't believe that, then there's really no power. There's no ability to know that you can create anything different. So I think that we create those sucky situations so that we can learn from them and grow from them, and just shifting the perception to that frequency is what allows you to like open up a new vibration to start bringing better things in.
I really love that, Lisa. And actually, it's funny you should bring up Wayne Dyer earlier. He was one of my very first excursions off the map from my old religious beliefs and a variety of things like that. He was one of the very first teachers I ran into. And actually, it was because I got led to him through, I was listening to Tony Robbins with a bunch of his power talk stuff. And I just so happened to listen to the interview with him and Wayne Dyer. And I was so impressed. It's like, this guy has something very different to talk about here. And so that began this journey. But I remember him talking at one point, Lisa, about how we learn. And most of us tend to learn in the rearview mirror, like, wow, like what you just said, 5 years ago, this thing happened and it was really bad, but I gained strength and insight and courage and things like that. And then the ability to start learning what we're going through right now. And then if I'm hearing you right, the more conscious and aware, the more present we become with our current circumstances, then we can take that next stage that he talks about too. And that's actually co-creating, actually creating something really divine in the present and the future. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yes. Mm. And, you know, Wayne's been saying it longer than anybody that I'm aware of, except for, you know, Napoleon Hill and those like really long ago people. But he's certainly done so much to bring it to a little bit more of a public awareness.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lisa, I'm looking here at your book and you I've known you for a long time now, and I've read your book and I've experienced you in various ways. And You're just such a happy presence, and the whole joy and the juicy joy aspect of it. Sometimes I think people might mistake that for, you know, she wants to talk about joy all the time, and I know you do, and that's the most powerful thing we can talk about. That's our highest obligation from my perspective now. But I wanted to talk a minute about your book, Juicy Joy, 7 Simple Steps to Your Glorious Gutsy Self. And I want to mention that this book surprised me. Like, I knew it was going to be a good book when it came from you, because I love your stuff. But this one surprised me in the depth. This isn't another one of those sugar-coated, let's all sit and meditate about rainbows books, which those are lovely. But this is not one of those books. Tell me about this. I mean, you have naked writing in here. You have you just have some stuff that really goes deep. And I'd love to hear kind of what led you to do this? And then, I mean, I know we've heard some of your story, but I don't know, how do you help people really dig in and go right straight through the middle of what they think is impossible?
Yeah, I mean, I call it taking them through the muck in the book, and you have to go through the muck. And that was, again, just one of those hard learned lessons, because when I was so into manifestation and, you know, I love the Hicks and would never want to, you know, disparage Abraham in any way. It was one of my greatest teachers. But I think that there's a depth to studying law of attraction that 99% of us initially miss, and I for sure was one who missed that, where the whole purpose is to reach for the better thought. And, you know, whatever you send out, that's what you're going to bring back. So, oh no, I'm having a bad thought. What can I do? I have to change it. I have to shift this thought. I have to have happy thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm going to attract things that I don't want into my life. And mm-hmm. I was so good at that. But it's just like, it's that iceberg model that we see all the time in psychology, where if there's anything that, you know, you're only experiencing, we're only aware of our conscious thoughts. And that's just like the little tippy tip of the iceberg sticking out over the water. And the whole big ass chunk underneath is all of our subconscious thoughts, feelings, and emotions that we don't want to look at, don't want to face. And every time something shows up in our environment that causes us to have what we deem a negative thought, and we say, oh no, I'm not going to feel that. I'm not going to feel it. We just shove it down under the waterline, and it just gets lodged in there and it accumulates. And unfortunately, our vibration that we're sending out is not just from that little conscious chunk. It's from the whole iceberg. So that's how we attract a lot of things that we don't want, even though we think that we're staying in our happy, happy thought place. So you have to go down there and just lower the waterline on the iceberg as far down as you can get it and see what's under there. And that means a lot of discomfort. So you mentioned the naked writings. I find writing just to be the most powerful catalyst for finding that inner voice, because most of us have so lost touch with that really, that higher wisdom that is inside every one of us that we could all access, but nothing in our society or culture encourages us to access it. So we just leave it dormant. And writing, to me, and I know you share this opinion, Jacob, and we've talked about doing writing programs even around this for people who are interested in writing, and even for those who aren't, it's just a way to access that stuff. And we use a lot of writing exercises to bring up the muck, find all those things that have gotten stored that we didn't want to look at, because once you bring them up out in the light, that's when you can work with them. And just even bringing them up there takes a big bite out of their power, even if you don't do anything with it. It's just bringing it up into your conscious awareness alone is so effective. But certainly when you then take the steps to rewire those thoughts and feelings and beliefs, that's how you start to really shift your energy.
Mm, yeah. Well, that's great. And actually, Lisa, today when I was when I was flipping through your book again, I'm not sure why this caught my eye, but it's in the chapter four, or step four rather, story stripping. Mm. But this one caught my eye, naked writing for outlaws. I wonder if you would tell us a little bit about that. I don't know why that caught my eye, but I like it.
The outlaw concept was something I had come across, you know, because I have so many heroes in this industry, so many people that I just have learned so much from. And I would say Don Miguel Ruiz is one of the ones that really comes to mind with this concept, but Osho talks about it and Jung talked about it. It's really the persona, what we're conditioned to be by our society. And that's our family, the religions that we grew up in, Jacob. Just the time and place in the world that we grow up, it all shapes this external shell, this persona that's really nothing to do with our soul selves. And so being an outlaw is starting to sort out, okay, which of these laws that I subscribe to are kind of arbitrary, just something that was taught to me, and does it or does it not resonate with my soul self, who I truly am underneath all these laws, underneath the persona. So just a little bit of writing exercises to sort of sort that out and see, because it could be that you're subscribing to a law that completely does resonate with your soul self. And I try to always say, not talking about the laws of our country, hopefully you're cool with those, but those laws that are about polite society, or, you know, where we need to live, or how much money we need to make, or who we need to associate with, or all those laws, being an outlaw means really taking a hard look at the rules that we live our lives by to see if they resonate with our soul self or they don't, and having the courage to break them if they don't.
And talk to me about that, having the courage to break them, because I think a lot of times we can come to the edge of and say, yeah, this insults my, oh, Walt Whitman said, what was it that he said, Lisa? Examine everything you've been told, dismiss all that insults your soul.
Ooh, I love that. I didn't know that. So hold on while I write that down. Just kidding.
yeah, I'll send it to you later. Yeah, Walt Whitman, he said, examine everything you've been told, dismiss all that insults your soul. And it feels like that's what you're saying here.
Yes. Yeah, that's beautifully put.
So how do you help people who can feel the insult. And sometimes that takes a while to even recognize that this actually insults my soul.
Yeah.
Why am I holding this? Why am I nurturing this and pretending like it's valuable? It insults my soul. So once we see it, though, and can feel it that way, how do you help people gain the courage to step across that line with something, again, as you said, not to something that's going to send them to jail or hurt somebody else, but...
I think it's in baby steps, really, because we are tribal creatures by nature of our humanness. We are programmed to be people pleasers to an extent, to want to get along, to want to have the approval of others. So we think that towing the line and being everything that everyone wants us to be is going to make us more likable, when in fact, when people just start pushing that envelope a little bit and letting a little bit more of that authentic self out at a time, they'll usually find that transparency is what is such a powerful draw. Every one of us wants to live as our unadorned, true, just liberated free selves. Mm-hmm. So seeing somebody who's doing it, even to a small degree at first, is very magnetic because it gives you permission to do it too. Mm-hmm. So we have this false assumption that we have to hide all these bits of ourselves that aren't in accordance with polite society or what people expect of us, when actually, when people start pushing that envelope, they see that the reverse is true. And that gives you the, you know, courage to do more and more, because, wait, I am going to get approval from the right people, from the people who resonate with me, the ones that I want to hang out with. I am going to get acceptance and approval by breaking these rules. Like the blessed of the weird tribe.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, Lisa, I think it was Ram Dass who said something like, the exquisite paradox is, once I give it all up, I can have it all, or something like that. It's paraphrased, you know, but that is the exquisite paradox for me. And it sounds like you and I have had similar path in that people pleasing department. For me, I have struggled, and it was so painful, and it was heavy to try to, you know, do all the things that would please everyone around me all of the time. And of course, that I never got what I was hoping for, you know, which was everybody being happy with me. But as you say, when we give that up and start taking even baby steps toward transparency. Wow. I was shocked at how many people thought that was cool.
and cool people think it's cool. You know, it's the people that you want to be hanging out with anyway.
The coolest people. I mean, you know, you, I mean, yeah, this is why we're here right now. No, it's yeah. So, yeah. You go.
No, that is true. I mean, definitely. That's the thing that I think that holds people back, is just that need for acceptance. And that's understandable and normal. And, you know, people almost feel bad about that sometimes, like wanting that acceptance. It's almost like they'll be in a juicy joy training, and women especially, I'll find, will say, you know, I want to get better at my career and take better care of my kids. And they'll have a list of like 4 or 5 things that they have to put in front of. And I'd really like to find a relationship, because they suddenly turn into a little, you know, junior high freckled braces little girl when they say that. It's like they don't want to admit that this is a legitimate, you know, desire that they have. And it's the biggest thing in the world. It's like all that really matters, all those things that we think we're supposed to want and strive for, are so insignificant compared to our relationships with others, and particularly a significant primary relationship like that. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something that that transparency will foster and help people to have, that whether it's relationships with their kids and family and coworkers, or that kind of love relationship. It all kind of hinges on your ability to be transparent. We all want to be seen and loved for who we truly are, and we think it's up to other people to do that, but it's really not. It's up to us to show up as who we truly are and offer ourselves out there in order to make those connections.
Yeah, wow. So, Lisa, we're coming up just pretty quick here on the end of our show, and this one, I know I'll have to beg you and your manager to get another shot at you here before too long, but. You mentioned earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and just put it out on this program, that the Right Naked program you and I have talked about, and I can't wait, and I know that's coming up here before too long, and so I want to invite people to visit lisamccourt.com. That's Lisa McCourt, MCCOURT, lisamccourt.com, and get signed up for the email list. Make sure you're on Lisa's list because she sends wonderful stuff. And also join her on her Facebook page, which we'll talk about in just a minute here. But let's talk, Lisa, about briefly about what people will get if they feel drawn to enroll in the Write Naked course with you, because you teach all sorts of creativity and writing courses and exercises, but this one's kind of special. What are people going to get if they jump on board with this deal?
Primarily you, Jacob. They'll get you in addition to the things that I teach writers. But just while you're on that about going to the site, even if you want to shoot me an email, lisa@lisamccourt.com, and say you're interested in the Write Naked program, that way I can make sure and have you in a special file that I can, you know, give you the follow-up information, because Jacob and I are still sorting out the details on that. But I think it's going to be a hybrid, right, Jacob? It's going to be really part writing instruction and part personal development, because writing is so much more than this artful assembling of words. It is healing on a very deep level. And I think that's what you and I together are planning to bring to the table in this course is, learn how to be a kick-ass writer. And we'll give you all the details that are boring to us, but a lot of people want to know about how to get published, how to write a proposal, and how to do all that technical stuff that people might want to know about the publishing process. You are a social media maven that are going to, I'm sure, shed a lot of great light on that aspect of it. But I think the exciting part for myself, and I'll speak for you as well, Jacob, will be really showing people how to write from that inner depth, because it's just so liberating, and it's what makes writing fun and juicy and what makes people want to do it. It becomes, you know, the whole dragging yourself to your project and fighting through writer's block just becomes obsolete when you know how to reliably access that inner muse. It's just so exciting and healing, and right?
Absolutely. And Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. I hear the music coming up right now, so we are up against the end of our time together, and I can't believe how fast it went. Folks,
I will come back anytime you invite me.
Oh, good. Well, you just count on it. You're going to be a perennial. And please check out Juicy Joy, 7 Simple Steps to Your Glorious Gutsy Self, and stay tuned for more excursions into wonderful weirdness and self-expression. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today. Have a wonderful day.
Love you, dude.
Bye-bye.